My name is Dr. Linda Chin, and I have been studying the Word probably for about the last 13 or 14 years, and I love the study of the Word. The purpose of this podcast is actually to reach Christians and to help us gain a better understanding of the Word. It's to help gain a better understanding of what the Bible is saying to believers. Christian Women in Training Network is a Bible study ministry, and it's created to help women become carriers of the glory of the living Word, so that when people encounter us, they are encountering Jesus Christ himself, and they're encountering people through whom they will experience the love and the power of Jesus Christ. And this is what we do. We study the Word in a loving and structured and safe environment. Our actual mission is to train women how to search and mine through the Scriptures for the purpose of developing an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. So if you'd like to join us for one of these Bible studies, please feel free. The first Saturday of every month from 8:30 a.m. to 11:30 a.m., we meet at Fully Rely on God Christian Ministries. That's located at 1445 Municipal Parkway in Douglasville, Georgia. Again, that's the first Saturday every month from 8:30 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. So thank you for joining us for another podcast. And the subject this evening is the heart of a servant. We're coming out of Genesis chapter 24. Genesis chapter 24 is an extremely long chapter. It's got 67 verses in it. And in it, we're going to find several servants. We're going to find that there's a servant who has no title. We're going to find a servant who's named, right? Well, this is what we're going to find. The servant with a title but not named. And then we're going to see that there's a servant who's named and then they don't have a title. And then we're going to see an invisible servant. And so oftentimes we find that as servants of God, we will find our place in life and in this station or at this station many times when you will have a title but you're not named. People will know you by your title, but they won't even know your name. Or you may have a name, but you won't have a title. So many of us are title hungry sometimes in ministry. And then sometimes you'll be that invisible servant. You'll be that one that nobody sees, but for sure, if something's not done, they'll know that you were missing. And so this heart of a servant out of Genesis 24, it's one of my favorite topics because it shows us on so many levels what God is requiring of us when we call ourselves servants. And this is the thing, that we're good. You know, I'm just a servant. We're good when people compliment us and, you know, tell us that we're doing awesome and you're such an awesome person. And we'll say, I'm just a servant. I'm just a servant. But let somebody else call you a servant and then you want to be the person with a title. So we've got to know that a servant comes from the heart. It doesn't come from your name. It's not about our title. It's not about being seen or unseen. It's about what's in the heart. So this heart of a servant, let's start off and we'll read in segments and go through and see where these different servants are. It's amazing. And so God says in Genesis 24, and I'm reading from the King James Version, it says, and Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. Verse 2 says, and Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I dwell. But thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac. And the servant said unto him, peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me into this land. Must I needs bring thy son again into the land from whence thou camest? And Abraham said to him, beware that thou bring not my son thither again. The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me, and that sware unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land. He shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. So where do we see this servant? This eldest servant in verse 2, we believe that it is Eliezer. And we get that from Genesis chapter 15 and verse 2. It indicates that it is Eliezer, God's eldest servant, right? In 15 and 2, Genesis says, "And Abraham said, Lord God, what will thou give me, seeing I go childless? And the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus." It was his steward. He took care of all things Abraham. So the eldest servant is a man given authority, and he was under authority. Abraham gave him authority. The Bible says, Abraham said unto this eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had. So if God is going to have you rule over a certain department or a certain region or a certain area, whether it be in work or ministry, then he expects you to be a servant with a servant's heart and not a master's heart. And so he says, "Put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh." A servant is a good steward. He's a good steward. Abraham, here we are in verse 2 again, that his eldest servant of his house, he ruled over all he had. "Put, I pray thee, thy hand under thy thigh." He was a good steward of his master's things. A servant is trustworthy and can be left in charge. He ruled over everything Abraham had. And so if you're ruler over something or everything that somebody has, you know that they can't watch you every minute and they can't watch everything. So if you're ruler over all that they have, as a servant, you must be trustworthy. So we're talking about a servant's heart. A servant in your heart, you've got to be a good steward. You've got to be trustworthy. I have to be trustworthy. And he says here, right, in verse 5, he said, "Peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me into this land. Must I need bring thy son again unto the land from whence thou came?" So what if the woman will not be willing? What shall I do is what he was asking. A servant who doesn't understand asks questions and makes clear his or her assignment. The heart of a servant is to be a good steward, to be trustworthy, to make clear what your assignment is, that your master, your boss, your leader, your spouse, your husband, whoever that is over you, your supervisor, your manager, make clear what your assignment is. And so let's go down. Start with verse 8. "And if the woman will not be willing to follow thee," this is Abraham, he says, "then thou shalt be clear from this my oath." In other words, you're free to go. "Only bring not my son thither there again." Verse 9, "And the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and swear to him concerning that matter. And the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed. For all the goods of his master were in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia unto the city of Nahor." So what do we see here? That a servant, the heart of a servant, by taking an oath, you show commitment. The heart of a servant has a committed heart. Excuses are for those who are not committed. But when you're committed, you'll do everything that you possibly can to make sure that your master is pleased with your assignment and that you are committed to the assignment. Verse 10 says, "He rose and he went." A servant is obedient. You've got an obedient heart when you have the heart of a servant. So a servant is a good steward. A servant is trustworthy. A servant makes clear their assignment. A servant of God is committed. A servant of God is obedient. Verse 11, let's go on to find out this heart of a servant. I love this. It is so clear what God is telling us if we're going to have a heart of a servant. So we're not only committed and obedient, but we're submit. We're submitted. Come under the mission of the master, of the leader, of the pastor, of the husband, of the father if you're not married, of the mother if you're in a single household and it's a mother, of the father if a single household of a father. So verse 11 says, because we're reading this in segments and we're discovering what the heart of a servant is in Genesis chapter 24. "He made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well," that means outside the city, "by a well of water at the time of evening," the time that women go out to draw water. "And he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send good speed this day and show kindness unto my master Abraham."
So now you know where that saying Godspeed comes from. It comes from the Bible, Genesis 24 and 12. Goodspeed. Godspeed is how we say it, and that means prosperity and success. I thought I'd throw that in for free. So verse 13, he says, "Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for my servant, for thy servant Isaac, and thereby shall I know that thou hast shown kindness unto my master." My God, this is the heart of a servant. A servant controls his responsibilities. They don't control him. Verse 11, he made the camels to kneel down. He had authority. He knew how to control those things that were in his control. He knew how to control his responsibilities, and they didn't control him. Those camels didn't get out of order. He made them to kneel down outside the city. In verse 12, he started praying, and he said, "O God of my master Abraham, I pray thee send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master Abraham." He prays. A servant prays for his or her leader. That's the assignment, is to pray. If you've got a servant's heart, you will pray for your leader. Your responsibilities will not control you, but you will control them. A servant prays specifically, effectually, intentionally prayers for their leader. He prayed for specifically. One, he said, "Show kindness to my master. Show kindness. Behold, I stand here by the well, and the daughters of men come out to water." He said, "And let it come to pass." This is his specific and effectual and his fervent and his intentional prayer. Let it come to pass. Let it come to pass. My God, that is awesome. "That the damsel whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And then she'll say, drink, and I'll give thy camels to drink also." How do you know it was a fervent and effectual prayer? Because it came to pass. Isn't that what James 5 and 16 says? That the effectual, fervent prayers of a righteous man and woman, it avails much. That thing will come to pass. This also tells us that he was walking in righteousness. The effectual, fervent prayers of a righteous person avails much. So the heart of a servant, you got to be a good steward. The heart says you're trustworthy, that you make clear the assignment, that you're committed, that you're submitted, that I'm obedient, that we control the responsibilities and they don't control us, that we pray for our leaders, that we pray specifically, effectually, and fervently, that we walk in righteousness. The Bible says that I will withhold no good thing from them that walk uprightly before me. A servant must be righteous and walk righteously before God. So that, believe it or not, was the servant with a title but didn't have a name, because he was his eldest servant in Genesis 15:2. So that was the servant with a title but not a name. Remember that. They had the title, the eldest servant in 24 and 2. He says, "And Abraham said unto his elder servant," so that was his title. He was the elder, he was the servant, but he didn't have a name. So when you are a servant and you have a title, but nobody really knows your name, it doesn't matter. We must have the heart of a servant. Praise God, praise God. So now we're going to find this servant, right? That she has a name, but she doesn't have a title. So let's watch this and pay attention to this for those of us who have a name but are hungry for a title or quick to throw our titles around. And so this is what happened in verse, we're going to start from 15. "And it came to pass before he had done speaking that behold, Rebekah came out, who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother. She came out with a pitcher upon her shoulder. And the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin, neither had any man known her. And she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up." Praise God. So verse 17, "And the servant ran to meet her and said, let me, I pray thee, drink a little water from thy pitcher. And she said, drink, my lord. and she hasted and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink. I mean, look at this. This is awesome. This is awesome. Now, this is the servant who has a name, but she doesn't have a title. Verse 19, and when she had done giving him drink, she said, I will draw water for thy camels also until they have done drinking. Look at this. I mean, this is powerful. And she hasted and emptied her pitcher unto the trough and ran again into the well to draw water and drew for all his camels. I think this is a good place to stop. We're talking about the heart of a servant. So this is the servant who has a name but doesn't have a title. Her name is Rebecca. Her name is Rebecca. And the damsel was fair to look upon, a virgin, neither had any man known her. And she went down to the well and filled the pitcher and came up. And the servant ran to meet her and let me and said, let I pray thee drink a little water. So here we go. She was pure sexually. The heart of a servant is pure. It is without hidden agendas. It is without hidden motives. The heart of a servant is pure. Verse 16 also said that she was fair to look upon. She was fair to look upon. She was beautiful to look upon. She did not have a scowl on her face. She didn't have a scowl. She didn't have an expression. Her lips weren't turned up. She wasn't looking at him side-eyed. And, you know, she wasn't saying she was fair to look upon. In other words, when she did all this, she wasn't saying, I just got my nails done. You know, I just got my hair done. I'm not getting ready to do all that, and I just got my nails done. And I might get sweaty and mess up my hair. It's not all about that. It's nothing about that. Those are excuses that we make. And so this is verse 18, what it said. And she said, drink, my Lord. And she hasted and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him to drink. My God, she's telling him, drink, my Lord. She's showing respect and she's showing that she's gracious to guess whether she knew them or not. She didn't know him from Adam. And yet she was respectful and she treated him graciously. She treated him graciously. She hasted. A servant immediately obeys. When you hear the voice of God, whether you know somebody or not, be respectful, be gracious, and immediately obey the voice of God. She said in verse 19, I will draw water for thy camels also. A servant of God is proactive, and he didn't even have to ask. He prayed it, but he didn't have to ask her. So this is the servant who doesn't have a title. She didn't make excuses. We are pure in heart as servants of God. We're gracious and respectful whether we know the person or not. We should not be a respecter of person. We haste to immediately obey. We are proactive and we go the extra mile. She said that she would give them drink in verse 19. She said, and when she had done giving him drink, she said, I will draw water for thy camels also until they have done drinking. She completed the task. She completes the task. So not only was she proactive and she showed initiative, but this servant of God completed the task until all the camels were done drinking. Now, we got to remember this. So verse 10 in chapter 24 says that he took 10 camels of his master, departed, and he went to Mesopotamia. Now, if you don't know anything about camels or Mesopotamia, this is going to tell you that this woman had a servant's heart. Camels already by themselves, this can drink up to 20 gallons of water. One camel can drink up to 20 gallons of water. Then he went to one of the hottest regions in the world. Mesopotamia can reach up to 105 degrees. Can you imagine? Camels are stinking. They spit. They smell. He's got 10 of these bad boys. She's got this pot that she's running back and forth. She hasted to and from the well. And I assure you, this pot was made of earthen clay. And if you've ever picked up a pot made, we call it ceramic nowadays, it was heavy. And then she filled it with water. And then she hasted to and from until they were done drinking. That is the heart of a servant. I love this teaching that we learn because this is what God would have us to do. If we're going to call ourselves servants, we got to have a heart of servant and do exactly what servants to do would do. Whether we have the title, but we're unnamed, whether we have a name, but we don't have a title. So we see several things here, that a servant doesn't grow weary in well-doing. She kept hasting back and forth. What do we know from Galatians 6 and 9? That a servant does not grow weary in well-doing, that a servant doesn't murmur. Philippians 2 and 19, nowhere in Scripture do you see here where she was complaining, where she was murmuring. She didn't utter a word of murmur because she even volunteered in heavy pots. And sometimes the burden like those pots gets heavy, but his strength is made perfect in our weakness. Praise God. I just thank God for this lesson, the heart of a servant. We got to check our hearts as servants. When we start to murmur, when we start to complain, when we cease to pray for our leaders, when we're looking for a title because we just got to tell people who we are, what we do. God, we've got to get better as servants. We got to obey immediately. We got to complete the task, complete the assignment. We must show initiative. We must pray for our leaders without excuse. We can't grow weary in well-doing. We can't murmur. Oh my God, this is awesome. It's awesome. It's awesome. So let's go on to see what else she does. So we read down to verse 20. Verse 20 says, and the man, wondering at her, held his peace, to wit whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. Now I got to stop and say this. So he prayed a prayer specifically. The Lord answered specifically. Isn't this just like us? He wondered whether or not the Lord had made his journey prosperous. Lord, is that really you? Lord, is that really you? Yes, it was God. Verse 22 says, and it came to pass, as there's that verse again, it came to pass, as the camels had done drinking, that the man took a golden earring, half a shekel weight, two bracelets of her hands, and 10 shekels weight of gold. Oh my God, this is just awesome. It's awesome. It's awesome. And he said, whose daughter art thou? Tell me, pray thee, is this there room in thy father's house for us to lodge in? She said unto him, I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, which she bare unto Nahor. She said, moreover unto him, we have both straw and provender enough to room to lodge in. And the man bowed down his head in worship. So we see, excuse me, from verse 25, that they have both straw and provender enough. The servant was unselfish. Verse 26, a servant worships God. We're back to Eliezer. He worshiped God. He bowed down his head. A servant is humble. A servant is humble. A servant is humble. My God. And let's go down. We're going to move a little bit. Came to pass in verse 30, when he saw the earring and the bracelet. Well, I can't do that because you won't know. So Rebekah, there's her name, in verse 29, had a brother. And his name was Laban, and Laban ran out into the man and into the well. And it came to pass when he saw the earrings and bracelets, in other words, he saw the gifts, he saw the blessings. Out of her obedience, God blessed her, God, with material things, and it's not always, but people see the favor on our lives. So when he heard the words of Rebekah, his sister, saying, thus spake the man unto me, that he came unto the man and beheld, he stood by the camels at the well. And he said, come in and thou be blessed of the Lord. Look at this. Just look at these servants. Verse 32, and the man came into the house and he ungirded his camels and gave straw and provender for the camels, water to wash his feet and the men's feet. Look at verse 33. And there was set before him meat to eat. But he said, I will not eat until I have told my errand. And he said, speak on. So what do we see here? That a servant will not eat until I have told my errand. In other words, a servant is conscientious. And what he was really saying here is business before pleasure. Let me handle the business that my master sent me to do, and then I'll sit down and eat. I'm going to move down so we can continue to see. My God, this is just so much for us to know and to take in, but I encourage you to read chapter 24 and look for the heart of a servant. So, he said, I am Abraham, verse 34, and the Lord hath blessed my master greatly. He's become great, and he's given him flocks and herds and silver and gold men servants and maidservants and camels and asses, and Sarah, my master's wife, bare a son to my master when she was old, and unto him hath he given all that he has. My God, and my master made me swear, saying, thou shalt not take a wife to my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, in whose land I dwell, but thou shalt go into my father's house and my kindred and take a wife unto my son. And I said unto my master, peradventure the woman will not follow me. And he said unto me, the Lord before whom I walk will send his angel with thee and prosper thy way. Now watch this. And thou shalt take a wife for my son of my kindred of my father's house. My. Let's go down and keep on reading. Then shall thou be clear from this my oath when thou comest to thy kindred, if they give not thee one that shall be clear of my oath. I came this day into the well and said, O Lord God of my master. Now he's testifying. So a servant doesn't mind testifying. Lord God of my master Abraham, I now know. He said, I now thou do prosper my way which I go. So now he knows. Behold, I stand by the well of water, and this shall come to pass that when the virgin come forth to draw water, and I say to her, give me drink, pray thee, a little water of thy pitcher to drink. And she says to me, both drink thou, and I will also draw for thy camels. Let the same be the woman whom the Lord hath appointed. Look at this. We're going to keep going down. In verse 36, and she made haste and let her pitcher down on her shoulder and said, drink, and I will give thee. Then let's go down to verse number 49. Watch this. And now he said, if you will deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me. If not, tell me, that I may turn to the right hand or to the left. Verse 49, let me read it again. He says, and now, if you deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me. And if not, tell me, that I may turn to the right hand or to the left. So what is he saying? Tell me if not. In other words, a servant is a redeemer of the time. A redeemer of the time. A servant is a redeemer of the time. Praise God. He's obedient. In verse 56, this is what he says. He says in verse 56, and he said unto them, hinder me not, seeing the Lord hath prospered my way, and send me away that I may go to my master. In other words, he recognized a distraction. He recognized it, and he avoided the distraction. If you'll read on in the verses, you'll find that a servant knows how to follow in verse 58, that a servant is blessed in verse 60, that he knows how to follow. My God, he introduces the masters to others in verse 65, and the servant said, this is my master. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. So now, just think of this. I'm going to give you a couple more points in verse number 65, where the servant said, this is my master. So you introduce somebody else to the master. 65 also says that she took a veil and covered herself. A servant knows when to be discreet. Now, I want to show you the invisible servant, and that was back in 7. He shall send his angel before thee. A servant doesn't need to be seen. The invisible servant in this particular scripture of Genesis 24 is God's angels. There are certain servants who operate much like the rudder of a ship and the cogs of a wheel. Whether they make copies or type programs, you may never see them, but they are the invisible servants. The master was one with the vision. The servant grabs hold of it and carries it. What a blessing and an honor to be a co-laborer with Christ and to actually be included in bringing forth the manifestation of his promises. That's what a servant does. And to do that, we must have the heart of a servant. Isn't God good? Thank you so much for joining us for this podcast.